This is listener-supported public radio. You are tuned to KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:01 a.m., and it's time for the regular Thursday COVID brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and let's see who's on the line. Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital. Good morning. Oh, how about Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And Nurse Lauren Carroll?
Hey, Kathleen, you're loud and clear.
Hey, good morning. Let's see if I can get Dorotha back on. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, do you read me?
I read you, Kathleen.
Oh, and there you are. Good morning, everybody, and thanks. So the big news, of course, is that a whole nother tier of eligibility has opened up. And so Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the Homer Public Health Center, can you go over the list of the people who are newly eligible?
Gosh, maybe I'll pass that to a member of the team.
Okay, sure.
Can one of you take that one?
Yeah, I'm happy to. So added to the group yesterday, the state expanded it to anyone 55 years of age and over. So already in the group was 65 and up. And so yesterday they opened it to 55 and over. And then they also opened it to individuals, the state guideline is individuals 16 and older who are essential workers as defined by CESA, or individuals considered high risk or might be high risk by as defined by their provider or the CDC, individuals living in a multi-generational household, or individuals living in an unserved community. And these are all in addition to, like I said, the 65 years of age and over, anyone assisting a senior in getting vaccinated, people who provide daily support for a medically fragile person in the home setting, healthcare workers, EMS, fire, pandemic response staff, educational and childcare, very widely defined, people living and working in the defined congregate settings. So the list is getting very long, but more importantly, very broad and inclusive of who can be vaccinated.
Thanks for that. And Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, I know that the city has a helpline because it's time to get a lot more people registered, and it's easy to do. You go to sphosp.org and you can sign up for South Peninsula Hospital's clinics. But if you don't have a computer or if you need extra help, the city is, are they manning their call line, or are you leaving a message and they're getting back to you? How's that working this week?
Great, thanks for asking. Excuse me, because it is a little different this week. We're finding that we're not getting that many calls. So currently the 435-3188 number gives information to people about the status of what's open, how to sign up, and we're actually directing people directly to South Peninsula Hospital's testing and vaccine center, and that's 235-0235. So right now we are just standing that line up when there's a new tier that comes open, and as we've gone through time, we've noticed that more and more people are being able to get an appointment online very easily.
Yes, it's very easy.
Yes, so right now we don't, but if a new tier opens and it seems like that need will arise again, we will certainly stand it up again. So the number is there. It will give people information who don't have a computer to get that information about how to sign up.
Okay, and then the helpline for South Peninsula Hospital, 235-0235, is actively staffed right now, right, Dorotha Ferraro?
It is. That is staffed. It's staffed by the COVID team 9 to 6 every day down at the vaccine and testing site. But that phone is answered 24/7 because that rings to the hospital and will bounce around until somebody answers it. So you can call anytime.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, tomorrow is it a second dose? Is there a second dose clinic tomorrow, Dorotha Ferraro?
There is. Tomorrow at the Homer High School, we will be doing our second dose clinic. Those individuals already have their appointments. So if that is you, you have your appointment, no need to make another one, no need to reconfirm. It was all written down for you when you got your first dose. And that is actually at the Homer High School, though. So the individuals tomorrow, they actually got their first dose at the church, and now they're getting their second dose tomorrow at the high school.
Now, the next clinic at the high school for first doses is Friday, March 12th. Is there vaccine available?
There are. So there are appointments available. So let's start at the top of the month. So the hospital ended up, for purposes of the Homer Unified Command Response, the hospital was allocated 900 doses for the month of March. It started out at 750, and they have called twice. The state has called twice and added more to the pot. So we are at 900. So of those 900, 750 are being made available at the March 12 mass vaccine event at the high school. And of those 750, there are still 200 appointments available. So anybody in this new tier, there's plenty of opportunity to get your vaccine Friday, March 12th, but please go online and make your appointment. There are just over 200 remaining appointments of those allocated for that day. Then additionally, we have vaccines available at the SPH COVID testing and vaccine site. And so those are available for the week of March 14th. And there aren't as many available there. There are just over 70 right now that are available in those days. We added a Sunday for, you know, as the tiers get larger, people in those tiers are busier. And we're trying very hard to flex and make the vaccine available at a time that the community needs and can get it. So if you can't go to that Friday event because you have to work, there's a Sunday scheduled at the vaccine center. There's also Tuesday evening, Wednesday. So we're trying to make all of the days and times of days available so that whoever needs or desires a vaccine can easily get it. So to recap, there are over 200 spots still open for the Friday, March 12 mass vaccination event at the high school. And there's over 70 spots still available by appointment at the SPH vaccine and testing site on Bartlett Street at various times and days the week of March 14th.
Also, I should tell people that residents in Nanilchik can go to the Nanilchik Tribal Council Clinic and call them to get a vaccine appointment. SVT Health and Wellness offers vaccines to their patients. Also, Ulmer's Pharmacy and Safeway Pharmacy have vaccine available. What about it, and Kachemak Medical Group as well? Am I leaving anyone out? I don't think so. So there is plenty of vaccine available for people who want it and need it. And that brings me to Nurse Lauren Carroll. You are on the spot now because I have two questions from Donna, and they are for you. First of all, she asks, what do I expect? What kind of reactions can I expect to the vaccine?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. You know, in terms of the Moderna, Pfizer, and the Jensen or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, really expecting several folks, like up to 20% in the phase 3 trials, that probably will have a sore arm, redness and swelling at the site of injection. Some folks have had a low-grade fever that resolved pretty quickly. And then, you know, in terms of really severe, let me look up, I had a figure. In terms of very severe reactions, we're looking at about one per several million. That in a nutshell, pretty safe to be sure.
And is the state tracking hospitalizations or adverse reactions to the vaccine in any way, Nurse Lauren?
You know, that's reported via a system called VAERS, which is a passive reporting system. So by passive, I mean anyone can enter information in there. So that data is not washed or cleaned in terms of it being valid data.
It's not vetted,
However,
yeah.
however, it is a really important surveillance tool. CDC routinely monitors that, and how that plugs into safety is that any time that there's like a death or a severe reaction, CDC asks for additional information. So 100% of those are investigated. And to date, there's been like zero deaths related to vaccine, and very few severe reactions, as in anaphylaxis or the need for hospitalization.
Thanks for that, because there is definitely misinformation out there on social media and people's platforms saying that people in Alaska have died from the vaccine. So can you confirm that the state doesn't have any, at this point, information
Oh,
about people
yeah.
who've died from the vaccine?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. That number is zero. People have died from the vaccine. And this is calling it misinformation, that's understandable, but it's also expected. One thing that's important to think about when considering events is, was the event like someone unfortunately passing away or needing to be hospitalized, was that because of the vaccine, or did it just happen in proximity, like during the day of or the day after? And so those are the types of investigations that are ongoing to make sure that all three vaccines are the safest possible.
And there's a question from Peggy who asks, well, I think we just covered this, but let's go over it again. Is the Johnson and Johnson or Janssen vaccine in Homer? When is it coming? And is it already here?
I'm happy to take that. The hospital, on behalf of Homer Unified Command, the hospital expects 50 doses of Johnson and Johnson, and we were just alerted of that information about 24 hours ago. So we are expecting 50 because it is very different in both its storage, administering, and the fact that it's one dose, not two dose. We have not made a decision yet exactly how those doses will be available. We've not made a decision on date, location, who might be, the best candidate for those. Nothing like that. We just learned, I guess yesterday morning or the evening before that we were even getting any. So the team is taking a look at that. We meet today with the Southern Peninsula vaccine stakeholders. We will learn in that meeting if any of the other vaccine providers are receiving Johnson and Johnson in the near future. If so, we'll share and discuss what their administering plan is. We'll talk at the Homer Unified Command level and make decisions and announce that next week.
And can a person choose to get a vaccine but not get the Johnson and ask not to get the Johnson and Johnson vaccine?
Well, right now, because there's been such a variety of vaccines that we've been receiving, first Pfizer, then Moderna, then allocation of Pfizer again, now Moderna again, and now we just learned 50 Johnson and Johnson. I guess a person could just roll the dice and wait for the next allocation and hope it's the one you want, but no guarantees of when the next shipment comes in, which manufacturer that is. So I get that there are different individual desires or standards that individuals might want to utilize, but as far as what we have to offer, we don't control that. We offer what the state provides through the supply chain.
Okay.
Also,
Go
if
ahead,
I
Jenny.
could interject, yes, the upcoming the clinic on the 12th, for which we're taking appointments now. Is it right, Dorotha? It's all Moderna at that one.
Okay, thanks so much for that. And
Yes.
Peggy Erkineff is on the line, I believe, from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi. So I'm wondering about, is everyone who wants the vaccine within the school district now vaccinated and covered, or is there still more to go, or are there still more people to administer the vaccine to?
Thanks. Great question. So we've been putting out all the clinic information, and we know that everybody who's wanted an appointment has been getting them. We don't have a record if everybody's been vaccinated, but there's lots of opportunity and more clinics coming forward. So we know that anybody who's wanted it and reached out to Nurse Iris or their nurse has definitely gotten the vaccine.
And you're saying you don't keep track of who's getting the vaccine and who doesn't?
No, we're not the record keeper for it. We know if somebody asked that they wanted to receive it, that they've had follow-up, but that we haven't done anything district-wide, staff-wide to say, did you get the vaccine or did you not?
Okay, thanks so much for that. Also, you just got off a call with Representative Sarah Vance?
I did. She spent 40 minutes with us.
And is there any COVID-related information that you might pass on to us that you discussed?
Mostly we had a great discussion about actually how our school district has done responding in the last year. There is some more funding coming. We don't know how much, and we were aware of that. And she really gave a shout-out especially to the needs that we responded to with meals and with the social emotional health and recognition that not all students did well learning, but some students did exceptionally well with the ability to go online and do distance learning.
Oh, that's actually one of the questions that I do have for you is that how are you finding that a significant portion of kids they're back in school now and they're coming and they're catching up? Do you feel like you have catching up to do or no? Are students pretty much where they need to be right now?
No, there'll definitely be some catching up and intervention that's needed. So we'll use a lot of our COVID funding that's coming, but the CARES Act and the funding specifically for putting things in place to help with intervention and closing those learning gaps, especially in those younger years. And then other kids did great, and we need to be able to help them continue to excel. So we have a full mix, and we don't yet know how many kids are coming back. So that could potentially affect the enrollment in the fall. In early April, people can look forward to an electronic registration for next fall. We need to be able to offer teacher contracts so we'll have accurate numbers of how many kiddos are in school.
Okay, and I think everybody right now, I'm looking at the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District page, and it looks as though everyone is doing in-person school right now.
And all of our schools are open, and they have been since the beginning of February for all grades. And we are having some positive cases this week, especially with several dozen people that have been identified as close contacts that are now in quarantine.
And are these happening? Oh, I'm sorry. You go ahead. I'll ask my question after you're done. You urge people to do what?
After spring break, to be really careful and follow all the mitigation plans.
That was my question. Are you identifying, have these cases been identified as being transmitted within the school, or were these people who were off traveling for sports or activities?
We haven't had any in-school transmission, which is awesome, which tells us that the wearing the masks, keeping distance when we can, washing hands, all the things we've put in place at school for pods and groups are working. But there is continued spread, and it will continue to probably happen. And then occasionally there's the close contacts that are identified that happen in school.
And my last question I have on my list for you is, since the emergency declaration expired, has the school district made any changes, loosening or eliminating some of their mitigation measures?
We haven't changed any mitigation measures that are happening in school. The big change for us is with the travel change, if people travel out of state. So our school district is following exactly what the state is saying, where instead of it being mandatory that you're tested when you come back and that you have strict social distancing for 5 days, we're strongly recommending that.
Okay, thanks. And Is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners from the school district about COVID practices and mitigation and vaccines? Anything that you want to share that this morning?
The only thing I'd share is have a great spring break, but don't let your guard completely down. Keep your bubble small. And if you know you're coming back to your KPBSD school next August, please just give the school a call and let them know.
Okay. I want to elaborate a little bit on that. So the district has a concern that many of the students will not be returning next year. And so you're trying to get a count of who's coming back. Do I have that right?
That is right. So when we've created our budget, we're having to do accurate staffing, not guessing. And so with the there's a deficit, that's one thing. And when then the second part is with enrollment lowering, that reduces the number of teachers that we may be able to have at a school. So right now, if we went with what the staffing projected is, that's a reduction of 49 positions district-wide because of dropped enrollment. And we need to have teachers in place for August if kids are coming back.
I see. And right, if someone is assuming that, oh, it'll be lower enrollment, that'll mean smaller classes, that's not the case, right? Because it also means fewer teachers.
Exactly. Okay. You got it right on.
Okay. Thanks, Peggy Urquhart. I know you've got to get on with the rest of your day, and I need to get back. I've got questions piling up here at Kathleen at KBBI.org. You can also call 235-7721 if you want to ask a question. Thanks, Peggy Urquhart from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. So here's one. Lori says, I think this one is for Nurse Lorne, but Nurse Lorne, feel free to hand it off. Lori writes, in our own legislature, Senator Reinbold has used the power of the state to denigrate the effectiveness of masks and the effects of the government's emergency response. She characterizes vaccines as experimental. She calls mitigation measures like martial law. Our own Representative Vance holds public meetings unmasked and even voted without one on election day and says she doesn't believe in vaccines. The question is, Lori asks, what do I say to my family members who are taken in by this dangerous nonsense? Oh, Lori. I want my family to be safe and our own leaders are putting them in danger. So can you, Nurse Lorne, what do I say to my friends or family if I want to try to convince them to practice mitigation measures and get a vaccine?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a good question. You know, in regards to Department of Health and Social Services, we have been and will continue to hold up evidence-based and promising practices in regards to preventing the virus from transmitting from one person to several other hosts. And, you know, that's why we're all here, is to prevent the virus from spreading and also to prevent bad outcomes like death from the virus. But I guess I would say in regards to elected officials, every individual has the right and should let those folks know what you're thinking. You could do that via email or write them a letter or give them a call.
But what do I say to my mother who says, I heard on the internet that that vaccine is going to make a horn grow out of my back? I don't know.
Well, I think I don't know that there's any data on that, but the incidence of that occurring is probably incredibly low or non-existent.
Okay.
But I guess the direct answer might be, I think pointing at the fact that millions and millions of doses have been given. Oh, and I, you guys deserve an apology. I gave wrong information earlier. I think I said something about every several million doses has one adverse reaction. However, the talking point is less than 5 cases of anaphylaxis per million doses of vaccine. So sorry about that.
Okay. But anaphylactic. Oh, go ahead. Is that Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer?
I can just weigh in as far as, you know, talking to friends and family. We all have different perspectives and understandings and needs around COVID. So I think the best thing we can do is respond to each other with a lot of empathy to understand that we're not all going to come from the same perspective. And from a safety point of view, to share, you know, as Lauren was saying, evidence-based research that shows from credible sources information about the efficacy of vaccines. We know they're not for everyone. So I encourage people to have empathy for our neighbors and our families who are navigating this complicated terrain of COVID-19, as even as the medical community, you know, it hasn't been around that long. And sometimes we just want answers. And the answers are coming slowly as we understand and observe this virus in the world. So the best thing I could say is let's approach each other with a lot of care and empathy. And when someone has a question, back up what you share with them with credible sources of science-based information.
That's tricky, though, because our own elected leaders are pushing back on credible information and saying that it has no credibility.
That's, yep, that
well,
is true.
While... I've got you, Jenny Carroll. Actually, mm-hmm. I have a caller who asked, Dorotha or Jenny Carroll, is there a wait list for people who don't currently qualify for the vaccine? For instance, when you are giving doses of the vaccine at the end of the day, is there that wait list where if there are some left over, people can be called in?
I'll defer that to Dorotha.
Dorotha? Go ahead.
My understanding is that we're sticking by the state's eligibility tiers in any waitlist situation.
Okay, so if a person was, well, actually, there is no situation right now where a person was unable to get an appointment. There are hundreds of appointments available.
That's correct.
Okay, so, and then Jenny, while I have you, renter's aid, and there's fisheries aid out there as well. Is the city tracking or providing information on either of these?
Well, we're providing information, but these are not City of Homer programs, so we're not tracking them. The AHFC rent and utility relief program that we've talked about over the last month here, applications are due tomorrow night by midnight, so if you have been harmed by COVID and you're struggling to pay rent or utilities, I encourage you to go to alaskahousingrelief.org and get on the list, get your name in for rent and utility relief. There is also a new program for providing CARES Act relief for fisheries participants. The state of Alaska was allocated $50 million in federal CARES Act funds for fisheries, and the state recently finalized their spend plan for those funds. So you can go to the City of Homer website, and there's an article about it on the main page and links that have links to more information. Just in a thumbnail, there are several eligible sectors for relief funding, including aquaculture, sport charter fishing, commercial harvesters, and seafood processors. The general eligibility is that anyone who's incurred greater than 35% of losses in their fishery participation between March 1st and November 30th of 2020, and if that was a direct or indirect result of COVID-19, you would be eligible. And the guidelines say that the way that you determine that income loss or revenue loss is that they'll compare the 2020 average gross revenues over to the average of the last 5 years of participation in that fishery business. If you don't have 5 years experience in books, then you they would take whatever there is to and do a comparison to get to whether there's been a 35% loss. I just want to reiterate, it's not a City of Homer grant program. The program is being managed by the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission. So go to the City of Homer website for a link to for information. The important dates to note for everyone out there who's interested is that the application period is open now, and it runs through April 30th. They say there'll be a 15-day window at the beginning of May where people can address application errors, and they're hoping to have the funds dispersed by June.
Thanks.
So it's exciting to see, because I know our fisheries took a big hit this last year, so it's great to see some more CARES Act funding coming out to support those industries.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center, is there anything else you want to add? It's time to wrap up.
Oh, I guess I'd just say, thanks for all the efforts as we're looking at, kind of celebrating where we've come in the past 12 months to protect each individual family across the entire Southern Kenai Peninsula. I think we have a lot to be thankful for. So just want to say thanks.
All right. Thanks. That's Nurse Lauren Carroll and Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. I'd like to give you the last word, because there's a whole lot going on over the next few days with vaccine, vaccine clinics. So do you, and also with testing at the same, at the vaccine and clinic testing site at 4201 Bartlett Street. So what is it that you would close by saying and letting people know?
Well, I just say we at the hospital are happy to be part of the continued testing as well as vaccine efforts for the Southern Peninsula. The testing sites open daily, 9 to 6. I just want to put some numbers to what Laura was mentioning. Tomorrow marks 1 year that the hospital activated our Hospital Incident Command System Level 1 alert, and we specifically activated our infectious disease pandemic response plan. And in 1 year, I just really need to hats off to the organization's employees and medical staff, in that in this year, this group has managed to prevent transmission of COVID within the walls of our facilities to patients. We have no known transmission to a patient of COVID-19, and the only known transmission we have is employee to employee in a break room without using any kind of protective equipment, and that was many months ago. So I just really want to give a shout out to the employees of this organization for doing such a great job of, for 1 year, living under the guidelines of our infectious disease pandemic response plan, and doing a great job of taking care of the community when they're under our care. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks so much, Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center, and Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. Thanks to everybody. This has been the regular Thursday COVID Brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and there are hundreds of vaccine appointments available to people who qualify. Go to sbhosp.org or contact your preferred healthcare provider to find out if you if there's an appointment for you, and I suspect there is. And to find out if you are eligible, go to the State of Alaska website and take the easy quiz to see if you're eligible. So thanks to everybody.